poet David Roderick is a child of the classic American suburb. He grew up in Plymouth, Massachusetts, not far from the replica of the Mayflower. So the suburb is a big theme in his newest book of poetry called The Americans. It's a collection that explores what it means to be an American at a time when our political differences are growing. And David Roderick found the answer lies somewhere in the middle of our history and our perceptions of the American dream. David Roderick will be reading from The Americans at Scuppernong Books in Greensboro tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. But first, he joins me on The State of Things. David, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Frank. Thank you for coming out today.
Tell us about these poems, The Americans. How does it come together? Did it come together for you as a collection about America?
No, I think I was just writing poems. I try to work, one poem at a time, and then see after I have a number of pages, what the direction might be, and then near the end, try to find a suitable title. And the title, The Americans, arrived very near the end. And there was sort of an attempt, like the title of your show, actually, The State of Things, to suggest or attempt this kind of comprehensive vision. Obviously, there are gaps. Obviously, you can't cover everything, but to sort of suggest that kind of scope, a big tent or wide umbrella.
On the show, we do cover absolutely
yes,
everything.
I know that.
Everything. What is the scope? What is the scope of this collection, would you say?
Well, I think I'm just sort of meditating on the country, on my life, which is now in the suburbs, what sort of happened in the wake of 9/11 in particular, I think. So to try to concern myself with the economic and political situations of the country, and to see how the broad sweep of those events and of history in general, the impact of those sorts of things on people. So I'm really interested, I think, in telling stories about people who are swept up in these larger dynamics.
Yeah, and the suburb is certainly a big feature of American life, and it doesn't always make its way into poetry.
Right. That was, I guess that was part of my thinking, too, was that it was a topic that wasn't often addressed, I think, and also a difficult, and I think in part because it's difficult too. It's so level, I think, and comfortable in some sense. And a poet and artist, I think, thrive on change and surprise. And so there's a tension in the book, I think, between the speaker and the poems. I guess some representation of myself. And this environment, which on the one hand is very sort of comfortable, in which the speaker feels like he's thriving there and coming into his own as a man and as a parent and husband. But on the other hand, the doubt creeps in when things seem at times to be a little bit too comfortable, a little bit too level.
Can I get you to read a poem for us?
Sure. There are a number of poems in the book that are actually addressed to the suburb, so sort of a personifying the suburb, I guess, or imagining that it might be able to listen to something like this. And this is one of the final ones, I think. It's just Dear Suburb. What happened to the golden rule among all your shining objects, these daisies and grills, these bikes? Even the dog turd dropped on my lawn, hidden by a few measly stalks. You've made me afraid to touch clovers and my wife's hidden hooks, and, most sadly, the woolen hats on my neighborhood's children, which in winter are bright fruit. The next time you text me, I'll be high on magnolia pollen and munching chips near the bluebird house, amazed I can thrive here so close to a city's lost eminence, where you bring a golden stillness to everything I touch, where I go whole years without suffering so much as a splinter.
David Roderick, reading from The Americans. He'll be at Scuppernong Books. Scuppernong Books in Greensboro at 7 o'clock. That's a poem. Again, you personify the suburb. You didn't all. You grew up in a suburb, but then left and came.
Right. I was gone for about 10 years. I went to graduate school. Traveled with my wife some, lived in cities, mostly in San Francisco and the Bay Area. So that's one of the things that I think I'm trying to take account of in the book is to have left this comfortable suburb that I grew up in, which seemed really idyllic and which I covered, I think, quite thoroughly in my first book. And this book sort of about arriving in a similar kind of place. I mean, it's very different in certain aspects, but it's so evocative of that childhood and its rhythms and comfort. And there's certainly other sorts of elements too. Like in Plymouth, Massachusetts, you can go to the Target. In Greensboro, you can go to the Target. And in most cities and suburbs, you know, you have these kinds of things.
Do you, by the way, I think I said you're going to be at Scuppernong tonight. I'm sure there'll be something great at Scuppernong tonight, but
probably.
You'll be there tomorrow.
I'll be there tomorrow, and actually I should say I'm the opening act. I'm reading with Alan Shapiro, who teaches at Chapel Hill, a great poet, friend, and mentor of mine.
You open this poem with "Whatever Happened to the Golden Rule," and of course one of the answers might be, in the case of the suburb, is that it was precisely designed to see the neighbor as not self. The neighbor is other. There are picket fences, driveways, and the built environment says you are on your own, pal.
That's right. That's right. I think there's some feeling on the narrator's part that he feels a little bit detached, in ways that he doesn't feel, I think, in cities or in other situations that he's been. And some of that is his own fault, I think. And I poke as much fun at him as I do at his circumstance. But some of it is the circumstance.
Would you have come to all of this had you not left? I mean, there's something about you being in the suburbs all your life. You had to leave and come back.
I think that's an important element to the whole thing. I'm not sure I would have arrived here unless I had been away for a while.
Can I get you to read another one?
Sure. One of the things I was trying to get at in the book was this sense of political concern, maybe even at times despair, and which felt more acute, I think, in 2008 when I had a great opportunity to travel abroad. So I was gone during that election year, and this is about a character who's abroad in Italy. In fact, he's just visited one of the great domes and been looking at art and eating wonderful cheese, and then he has this sort of startling, he reads some headlines and has this startling sort of sensation. So I'll begin right here in the middle of the poem. Spooning soup and eyeing the news, I thought being an American isn't like being from one of the old nations. It's not a gift exactly, but it's also not something to take lightly or give away. I pictured dawn drawing over it, the sun hammering its domes. The campaigns are ramping up, yet here I was eating fries in a piazza, watching boys loop string around a pigeon's neck. Mostly I got what I wanted, forgot what I was, until a driver in dark shades turned to me and said, "Your people, whoever they aren't ready for a woman president, let alone a black." I said nothing, then flogged myself for days until, stomping up Vesuvius, I sucked deep the fog that still smelled like ash. Then I walked down again, thinking about all those faces in the city below. What a shocking fate for a single blast gas to settle on that populace, to crumple like paper all its lungs.
David Roderick reading from his collection, The Americans. He'll be at Scuppernong Books tomorrow.
Thanks.
So you had that experience of being abroad and having foreigners tell you what they thought of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. People are more than willing to share their opinions. And I think, you know, the title, The Americans, that article, is important in that regard. You know, you don't think of yourself that way when you're inside, but when you go abroad, I mean, that's how we are referred to. The Americans are doing this, they're doing that, we like this about them, we're not so certain about this. And so that was sort of startling, that just that one word appearing before Americans.
It's a great way, and I can see from this collection an opportunity for you to meditate on the great paradox and complexity of being American, the aspiration, the promise of this country about individual independence and liberty and a shared kind of mutual independence and freedom, that it offers progress, a looking forward, optimism, all those things that we associate with Americans, and even the suburbs to a certain extent. Wow, couldn't we have a little piece of nature right in our own front yard?
Sure. You know? I mean, it's a pastoral place. Right. It's sort of between urban and rural experience. I think it's idyllic, and I think in some sense the sort of imagined representation of the dream, of the American dream. We each get our own sort of fenced in, private, quiet space. And so, yeah, and you know, but on the other side, you know, there's certainly this is something that should be praised, and I think the book does praise that dream, but also even as it, I guess, pokes fun at it or critiques it in light ways.
You add elements of American history as well, including Kennedy's assassination. I wonder if I can get you to read The Love Field.
Sure, sure. Again, it's a longer poem, so I'll jump in about halfway through. So this is November 22nd, 1963, a few minutes really before Kennedy is shot, and he and Jackie Kennedy have just arrived in Dallas. And so they're on the tarmac, emerging from the plane. And who knows what's truth, what's myth, or if they arrive as hawks or doves, brave with risk in a bright and swirling land where the dust seems to crown from its own gray dust. Here's the raw footage. Here's the film clicking in the projector. And, as all things seen through it are black and white, isn't it important to note her roses are red and not yellow, and that neither of them squints in the bright Texas sun? If you can stand what the light inside the darkness does to your eyes, watch them pause there for a moment, our champion, our grace, in that high noon that holds all the freshness of the morning.
David Roderick, his latest collection is called The Americans. You know, you said these were poems first and then became a collection. Was were any of these poems written after you had decided that there was this collection called The Americans coming?
I'm not so sure. There may have been one or two near the end that I was trying to sort of find a place for, and then that when I came upon the title, I realized, you know, that it suddenly accommodated those pieces. But I can't quite remember. We don't want to get too far. Artists, you know, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Sometimes having the grand project in mind too early can stop up the work.
Well, that's what I wondered, because to what extent is there any kind of abstract notion here, abstract idea about Americans or suburbs with each poem, or does it start for you with an image?
It usually starts with an image, a piece of music, something some I might hear on television or in a movie or eavesdropping on someone at the cafe or restaurant. Poets are great eavesdroppers. So that's usually how it starts for me.
Do you have another collection in the works, and do you find yourself probing other themes at the moment?
Yes, I'm really just trying to take it one line and one poem at a time right now. I'm very early, in the stages of the next book, and just trying to. I've probably got 10 or 15 poems, and then I usually have dozens in the works. So a lot of them fail, but then some of them make it to the final cut.
One poem at a time. My name is David, and I'm a poet. David Roderick, English professor at UNC Greensboro.
Thanks so much for having me, Frank.
His second book of poetry is called The Americans. Going to be reading at Scuppernong Books in Greensboro tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Alan Shapiro is going to be with him as well. Just ahead, we're going to hear how four siblings made it from New Jersey to Greensboro and created the family band, the Rinaldi Flying Circus. And we have a preview right here. Stay tuned.
Talking to my dog, and I said, "Oh, Bear, what a great day to be among the living. It's the sunny side of me that's a-okay." So I plant myself and my eyes adjust to this brand new light in a world of dust, but it shimmers out to sea, sailing away. Oh, please, God, no, don't let it go. If you have soul, let it sit, let it fester a little bit. Whistling through a storm neath a holy roof, when the sun comes out for living proof of this melancholy tune stuck in my head. I thought I heard a bird trying to match my song, but it was just my heart all along. It should be good enough for me, but is it ever?